Tonight, WWE was in Utah for Saturday night's main event, the second to last one this year. We have one more to go, and that will be John Cena's retirement match. That's coming up in DC on December 13th. And tonight, we actually got some news in regards to John Cena's retirement match. They are indeed going to be having a tournament that is going to be playing out and taking place over the next several weeks, a 16-man bracket to determine who will get to call themselves the last man to ever set foot in the ring against John Cena. And that is going to be commencing a week from tomorrow. Well, actually, not tomorrow, from Monday. I still think of these shows as Sunday night shows. But a week from Monday in Boston, this tournament will kick off. And we will find out at that point who that person is going to be. And we heard from John Cena tonight. He wasn't there live. But he did mention, and actually he was not the only one who wasn't there live in Salt Lake City. Evidently, Triple H couldn't be bothered to be at the show tonight either, so he was not there. But John Cena did say something very interesting in the video package that they aired, which was, there are going to be men in this tournament, not only from Raw, not only from SmackDown, not only from NXT, but from faraway lands that are unrelated to WWE. There could be men in this tournament who don't even work for WWE. And of course, you can imagine what some people are thinking and the names that are going through their heads right now, setting themselves up, I'm sure, for disappointment. So it was newsworthy to get that information, and I'm going to talk more about this tournament and what Cena had to say. But the big takeaway outside of that, the big news coming out of this show, stem from the main event, which was CM Punk and Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship. So anybody who still had any lingering doubts as to the legitimacy of the injury to Seth Rollins, you need not worry anymore. I don't know why people still would have thought that it was a work. At this point, it's pretty obvious. I mean, once they took the championship off of him, it ain't a work. But there were some people who still had lingering doubts. So Seth Rollins gets hurt. It ruins their plans. It was going to be CM Punk and Seth Rollins tonight for the World Heavyweight Championship. And CM Punk would not have left Salt Lake City tonight as the World Heavyweight Champion if that match had taken place. I think we're in a very different universe right now. Had Seth not gotten hurt, I think these reports of Austin Theory joining the Vision, I think a lot of these things would have played out and it would have fed into a War Games match at Survivor Series. None of that happened tonight. So the question was, would we actually have a new world champion crowned? Or were we going to have the bronze run in and ruin the festivities? Were they going to drag this out a little bit longer? Was Jimmy Uso going to get involved? One of the Usos, were they going to go heel in this match? Was Jimmy going to cost Jay? Was Jay going to turn on Punk when the match was over? Right? All of these questions about what might possibly happen here in this match. And I came into this show thinking, you know, I really don't want either one of these guys to leave tonight as the World Heavyweight Champion. And I would love for them to find a way to drag this out because Survivor Series is so close. Survivor Series is coming up and you could play this thing out. You could do a tournament. The minute they announced this John Cena last time is now tournament, which is what they're calling it, I knew at that point, like the chances of that were just nil. Like it wasn't happening, right? Because they don't want to run tournaments concurrently at the same time like that. Unless it's like King and Queen of the Ring. I mean, they kind of go hand in hand. But the minute they made that announcement tonight, I knew that idea was dead. And it was pretty clear to me that we were going to have a new World Heavyweight Champion. And I said coming into this show that if someone has to win that title tonight, then I hope that someone is CM Punk. Because Jey Uso as the World Heavyweight Champion is not something that I care to see. Earlier in the year, I felt differently. Earlier in the year, they had a story they told with Jey Uso, and he went in there and he finally won the big one. And it was a very polarizing win. A lot of people didn't like that. A lot of people didn't like the way Gunther, you know, very easily tapped out to Jey Uso at WrestleMania, like it was some sort of slap in the face to Gunther. But the idea was that, okay, they're going to tell this story with this guy who's super popular and everybody yeets and they sell, you know, a shitload of merch. And so they're going to push him to the moon and they're going to put the World Heavyweight Championship on him and make him a made guy, right? That was the idea behind it. And at no point did I think or did I hope or expect that he was going to have a long run, but he had his run and then it was over, right? It's like, okay, great. The dream is now over, right? Playtime is over. It's back to business. and the title ended up back on Gunther. The idea of putting the World Heavyweight Championship back on Jey Uso right now is something that doesn't appeal to me. I know it doesn't appeal to a lot of people. They're telling this story of, you know, this discourse between the Usos and Roman Reigns and, of course, the Bloodline family drama, which we've been, you know, watching for 5 years now. And that's fine if they want to tell that story. But Jey Uso does not need to be the World Heavyweight Champion as that story plays itself out. So I was hoping that if somebody had to win, it would be CM Punk. And in fact, CM Punk is once again the World Heavyweight Champion. He had the title for 5 minutes at SummerSlam, but now he's going to have a proper run, however long it lasts. It's already lasted longer than his last one. But he is now the World Heavyweight Champion. That main event tonight was the worst thing on the entire show. This was a Saturday night's main event that honestly was mostly carried by good in-ring action. This was not a PLE. This was a souped-up version of Raw or SmackDown, which really, when you think about it, is what Saturday night's main event was always really kind of presented as. It was presented as a souped-up version of what you would see on TV. It was to fill the gap between pay-per-views, and it really served the same purpose today that it did many years ago. So that's what this show was. Honestly, the best part of the entire show was the fact that we didn't have to sit through commercials during the matches. Because this show no longer airs on NBC. Peacock only, unless, of course, you're watching internationally, then you had it on Netflix. No change for you. Unless it was on YouTube. Were they airing it on YouTube? There was some controversy that it might be on Netflix, but it's on wherever it was in the U.S., it's on Peacock only. So they saved the commercials for in between the matches. We had 10 minutes of commercials in between matches. But the best part was that none of the matches themselves were actually interrupted by these breaks that we had to suffer through on previous editions of this show. So that was honestly the best part. The main event itself, though, was the weakest part of the entire show. I did not like that main event. I thought that main event, for the most part, especially the first half of that match, I thought that main event was a sloppy mess. I don't know what was going on with Jey Uso in the first half of the match. He got a little bit better as the match went on. He just looked out of it. I don't know what the fuck was going on with him. I've seen CM Punk, and for that matter, I've seen Jey Uso have better matches than the one they had together tonight. That was not a good match. I'm sorry. It was not. We had Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. They had a good match. Jade Cargill and Tiffany Stratton was exactly what it needed to be. We had a triple threat for the Intercontinental title. I thought it was fun. None of the outcomes on this show were surprising in the least. It pretty much played out exactly the way that I said that it would and that I figured that it would. But of all the matches on the show, the main event, the match they saved for last, was the worst thing on the entire show. So now Punk is the world champion, and now we're heading into Survivor Series. And it just seems to me, because I'm trying to think, you know, what else would you have even Punk doing on the show if he wasn't going to be in a War Games match? Because they've really been giving the impression of late that the MFTs are going to end up in a War Games match. And I hope to the wrestling gods above that that is not the case. Frankly, I would be perfectly fine if they wanted to put them in some sort of traditional Survivor Series elimination match, but Triple H is allergic to doing that. So we still don't know who's going to be in War Games. I'm hoping that this means Punk, Roman, you know, we'll end up with some of those names just to avoid the MFT stuff. And I assume that's what Punk will be doing, and then he'll carry that World Heavyweight Championship into next year. And the only question now is, do they keep that title on him until WrestleMania? Does he drop the championship in advance of WrestleMania? Because I was starting to warm up to the idea very much so that at WrestleMania next year, perhaps we could actually get a match between Punk and Cody, which is something they've teased before. Obviously, you know, right now they're on separate brands. It doesn't look very likely. It would not be difficult to get that championship off of Punk long before WrestleMania. You got an Elimination Chamber coming up in Chicago at the end of February. Punk could win the chamber. He can go challenge for the title on the other show, get that match with Cody. Again, one of many possibilities going forward. There'll be plenty of time for us to brainstorm and kind of fantasy book and what that might look like. Cody Rhodes, though, is still the WWE champion. That was not a surprise to me. Even though on SmackDown last night, they added a bunch of stipulations that would make you think it might be a little bit easier to envision Cody might lose the championship. But because I was expecting other champions crowned on this show, it just seemed very unlikely to me that they were going to take the belt off of Cody. And in fact, they didn't. And Drew McIntyre got beat again. Fairly clean, I might add. We'll get into the details of what happened here. But I'm at a point now with Drew McIntyre where it's like, man, how many times? And this is I feel the same way about Rusev and Penta. Penta especially. Because they were unsuccessful tonight against Dom for the IC title. At what point do you look at some of these men who constantly go in there and get booked in these championship matches and lose? At what point do you look at it and go, it's time to move on? Like, when does the bloom come off the rose? When do you lose interest in seeing the same people challenging for the same titles unsuccessfully over and over again before you look at it and go, okay, it's time to move on to the next? I'm about at that point now with Drew McIntyre. It happened to WrestlePalooza. It happened again here tonight. And you got to ask the question. If you can't beat the champion, even when you take away the champion's advantage, then why is this man being fed championship matches? It's kind of where we're at now with him. As far as Jade is concerned, that was the least shocking thing on the entire show, that we have a new WWE Women's Champion. From the moment that they signed it, TKO signed this woman, I am sure that they were waiting for the day that they can give her her crowning moment and do that photo shoot of her with that championship and really market her and push her as their top female star, at least on SmackDown. So now she's got the championship, and now we wait for Bianca Belair to make her eventual return, because that seems to be the natural match as we head into WrestleMania season. So this was a newsworthy show because of the championship changes. It was a newsworthy show because of the John Cena announcement, which I will talk about. And so overall, I mean, it was fine. It was probably one of the more enjoyable episodes of Saturday Night's Main Event because of the lack of commercial interruptions during the matches, as far as a viewing experience is concerned. But no Jesse Ventura. This was the first one, I believe, that Jesse was not on, even though he was supposed to be on all of them this year. So see, this is what happens when you speak out of turn and you say things that the company does not like. They will silence you. And so there was no Jesse Ventura. I suspect that there will be no more Jesse Ventura, which is too bad. I was kind of looking forward to him ranting about another referee, crooked referee here. He would have been ranting about the referee in the Cody and Drew match, I'm sure. So it's too bad. I was hoping that Jesse would be on the show. But I'm here to talk about the show. This is your Saturday night's main event review. It is Saturday night, November 1st, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you guys for hanging out with me here 24 hours after we had a fun time on the SmackDown post-show last night, the Halloween show. That SmackDown show last night outside of the Ilya Dragunov match sucked. We had more fun on the stream than I think most people had watching the show. And you guys blew it up. It was a very fun Halloween, so I want to say thank you for that. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. And I will be reading your messages here a little bit later on in the stream. I also gave the super chats a little bit of a refresh. So some have been retired, some have been shuffled. There's some new ones. You could always find them in the description down below in this video, just FYI. So get them on in. And again, if we hit our goal tonight, 400 likes minimum on this video, we will do our Be the Booker segment a little bit later on here in the stream. So let's get into this here, because after the usual shots of people arriving at the building and sipping their coffee in the back, it was out to the arena. No Jessets. Joe Tessitore. He's doing the college football thing here this season. So Joe Tessitore was not there to host. I mentioned no Jesse Ventura. It was right to the action here. And they opened the show with the WWE Championship match. Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. That right there should have been a telltale sign this title is not changing hands. They're not going to change the WWE title here in this opening match. So it was Cody and Drew. And there were some stipulations that were added on SmackDown last night. Specifically, the title could change hands on a disqualification. The title could change hands on a countout. Drew McIntyre wanted those stipulations added so that Cody couldn't weasel his way out of this match and retain his title and run home And Cody said, sure, if that's what it takes to get you in the ring and end this, then so be it. So the champion's advantage was gone, right? The title was in grave jeopardy here coming into this match. They lowered the old school MSG microphones from the ceiling for Lillian Garcia to do her ring introductions. McIntyre had her announce him as the real American Dream. Next week, he'll be walking out to the ring drinking some real American beer. That'll be the next thing they do. Which reminds me, they had the red, white, and blue ring ropes tonight, which is always nice to see. Yes, I know. Joe Tessitore was in Jacksonville for the Georgia versus Florida game. Thank you, Paul. This is college football season. I'm surprised. I'd be surprised if he's on television much at all, but I mean, apparently he's there on Mondays, so. But when the weekends are concerned, he's got bigger things to partake in. Punk and Jade were my go-tos for title changes. Jade was guaranteed. Jade was a slam dunk. McIntyre went for a suplex. Cody reversed it with one of his own. McIntyre rolled out to the floor. He was trying to lure Cody out to the ring for a count out. And this was really the theme of the first, I'd say, half of this match. He was trying to get him counted out. He was trying to goad him into getting disqualified because, again, he knew that the minute he gets disqualified, he wins the championship. And Cody wasn't taking the bait. McIntyre kept trying to goad him and wasn't working. So Cody fired up, started throwing some jabs. He got a little too aggressive with the stomps in the corner, kicking too much ass. And when he turned around, he almost hit the referee, Dan Engler, and he had to hold up. So on the outside, McIntyre dumped Cody over the barricade to try to get the countout win. He managed to get back in the ring before the count of eight. McIntyre hit a belly-to-belly throw. I mean, Cody went flying halfway across the ring on this throw. McIntyre took a moment to mug for the crowd before climbing the ropes, and Cody met him up there, and they threw some hands. Cody got McIntyre up. He landed a superplex, and he followed that with a disaster kick and a Cody cutter for a two count. Got a bionic elbow, and he charged at McIntyre. Drew, though, caught him with a spine buster, and then he planted him with a sit-out powerbomb. McIntyre rolled out of the ring, and he grabbed the WWE Championship. Brings it into the ring, and Cody rips it out of his hands, and he tosses it to the referee. And as the referee was disposing of the championship, that gave Drew the opening he needed for a flash claymore kick out of nowhere. But he was only able to get a two count out of it. So Cody rolled out of the ring. McIntyre then sets him up in front of the announce desk. And he was going to deliver a claymore kick through the announce desk, which if you remember, that was the whole angle they did a few months ago, where Cody disappeared for weeks and weeks so that he can go film for Street Fighter. And we didn't see him for a while. Cody, though, cut him off with a fist to the gut, or the breadbasket, the Gorilla Monsoon would say, and he put Drew back in the ring. McIntyre then charged in. He knocked Cody off the apron before he could even get back in the ring, and Cody flew. He landed on the announce desk and then bounced over the announce desk and onto the floor. And Drew was looking to win the championship by count out here, and he's telling the referee to count, and the referee begins counting. This was the fastest count that you will ever see. If for somebody who just landed outside the ring and the referee, it felt like he was already on three. I mean, he was counting super fast here. So Cody had to recover quickly. He was able to make it back in before the 10 count. McIntyre set him up for another claymore. Cody ducked. And Drew then tried a future shock DDT. Cody blocked it and he got backed into the corner. And there was an awkward spot here where he went to go run into the corner. He was going to run the ropes for a Cody cutter, like a super cutter. And the referee was in his way. So Cody hesitated. He had to slow up a little bit. And he started to run the ropes. And then he stopped. And he sold that he hurt his knee. Right? So now he's selling some sort of knee injury. And I don't know if that was, you know, the planned spot. Or if he just decided to sell the leg. Because he realized that, you know, we fucked something up and this just looks awkward, so let me just sell my knee. I don't know what the deal was. He immediately went back to the spot like 15 seconds later. and wasn't really selling the knee, and he hit the super cutter and Drew kicked out. So then Cody, at that point, he sets up for Crossroads. McIntyre kicks him in the face, sends him into the corner. He squashes the referee. And the referee, he falls to the mat unconscious. And I lost track of all of the wrestling tropes in this match. I just did a segment on this on the podcast last week. There were at least, I don't know, four of them, five of them probably in this match alone. McIntyre hits a Glasgow kiss. Referee is down though, right? He can't count the fall. So using that to his advantage, McIntyre grabs the belt again. He goes to hit Cody with it. Cody ducks, and the two of them hit the ropes. They come off, and they collide. They had the same idea, and they collide with a double crossbody. And both men are down, and the belt is on the mat. Referee is also still laying there dead. McIntyre goes for the belt again. Cody manages, though, to DDT him onto the belt. And then he tosses the belt out of the ring to get rid of the evidence. Now, the referee finally begins to stir just in time to see Cody hit Crossroads and get the pin to retain the championship. And I will say this, at least it only took him one. It only took him one of his finishes to actually put somebody away. I don't know what that says about Drew McIntyre, because it takes fucking three of them to put most people away. It only took one. Now, granted, it was on the belt, so I'll give him that. This was about the same as their WrestlePalooza match, I would say. Maybe slightly better. If I was going to grade this on a scale of 1 to 5, I'd go 3.5 here for this match. I think that's fair. It was a good match with a lame finish. And I told you, like, even with the stipulation, we just talked about this last night, even with the stipulations that they added to at least add a little more intrigue to the match and make you really believe, hey, we might get a title change here in this match. At no point did it actually feel to me as if Cody was realistically going to lose this championship. No matter how much they tried to stack the deck against him, knowing that there was going to be at least one and very likely two other new champions crowned on this show, I could not envision them taking the title from Cody and making it three. Somebody was going to have to be the odd man out here. Drew McIntyre was the odd man out. So it played out the way that I expected it to. But how much of a loser does Drew McIntyre look like after what we saw here? I mean, look, he more or less lost clean at WrestlePalooza. Now, if you remember what happened at WrestlePalooza, right? He was going to go for the kick against the Claymore kick up against the announce desk, which was what put Cody out in the first place. And the referee jumped out of the ring. Might have been Ryan Tran, jumped out of the ring to try to stop him from doing it, even though there was nothing illegal about it. There was nothing illegal. If Drew wanted to give him a kick against the announce desk, who is the referee to jump out of the ring and say, oh, hold up, you can't do that, right? And that little delay is what led to Drew doing the kick. Cody moved. Drew sold it like he broke his fucking foot. But still, Cody basically beat him clean. And I should point out, by the way, the same spot. They repeated the same spot in this match. I didn't see this referee jumping out of the ring to stop him. I didn't see any other referees running out to try to stop him. Little inconsistency there. But he basically lost clean at WrestlePalooza. And he lost clean here. And if people are going to point to the title in the ring and he DDT'd him on the belt and that's cheating. You know how I look at it this way. Cody is not the one who introduced the belt into the ring. Drew did. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Cody didn't bring the championship into the ring. Cody didn't blast him in the head with the championship. He might have wanted to. The belt was just laying there. Shit happens. Nothing. He didn't do anything wrong. It was part of the ring. It's like when you take the top turnbuckle off, right? You run somebody's head into it. It's part of the ring. People get run into the ring steps all the time. They don't get disqualified. Why? Because it's part of the ring. As the belt was laying there, it was part of the ring, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, two losses now in a row, not in a row, but they had that match on SmackDown a couple of weeks ago that Drew won by DQ. But that's two fairly clean losses now to Cody Rhodes. And it's like, well, okay, so are we just going to have Drew come out on television again this Friday and complain about being screwed again? Is that really what we're in for? I already saw him. He was on Twitter. He posted the GIF from, God, was it, not WrestleCon. It was Conrad's event, StarCast, several years ago. Maybe it was tied into the original All In, where Cody told the story about the referee. That referee fucked on me. Remember that gif? I see that gif going around every now and then.
That referee fucked on me.
I don't even remember what the story was. I just remember him saying that. So Drew posted that clip on his Twitter before. So he's already complaining about the referee screwing him over, and so we're going to hear about this now for another few weeks. At what point do you look at this and go, you know what, I'm kind of over it. I really wanted Drew McIntyre to win the championship here. Get that title off Cody, right? Shake things up a little bit. Make Cody chase him for a change instead of the other way around. And maybe we'll still get there, but at this point, to me, it just feels like a lost cause. It really does. You know, McIntyre is in that Kevin Owens spot where he's a great talent that you can plug in there. You know he's going to give you a good match or a great match, and he could be a great heel, right? A great heel foil for the champion. But the likelihood of them actually pulling the trigger and putting the championship on him just remains very low, like basement low. And it feels like that's where we're at, you know, with Drew McIntyre. So you ask yourself, like, okay, what do you do now with Cody? It's probably going to be McIntyre. And Randy Orton will come back because one would assume that at some point Randy Orton is going to come back to work, right? Unless he's secretly done and we're not aware of it. He's going to have to come back to work at some point. And maybe we get a triple threat match and they put the title on the line there and they do a title change at Survivor Series. So we're not done with this. But I just wonder, because I'm one of these people, now that I've seen this, I'm less enthusiastic about Drew McIntyre and Cody and Drew winning the title than I was even last night. Because it's like, how many times are we going to see this? Until eventually they decide, okay, now's a good time. Now we'll do a title change. Maybe they'll do it as Survivor Series. So then we have four more weeks of Drew bitching and moaning about the referee screwing him over. That's basically what we're in for. We had Tiffany Stratton defending the WWE Women's Championship against Jade Cargill, the newly heel Jade Cargill. Man, that scar on her eyebrow is just, it looks badass on her, but it's brutal. I do wonder if she's going to have surgery, cosmetic surgery at some point for that. I think it works for her, but I'm just wondering in the long run if she wants that giant fucking scar on her face. It's pretty nasty. So before the match, they cut to the back. Before we even get into the match, we got to talk about this. They cut to the back. And Nick Aldis, the general manager of SmackDown, is still pleading with Tiffany. Please, are you sure you're okay? Are you sure that you're up for this match? And Tiffany insists, no, I want this match. I'm fine. I'm going to go through with it. And I'm watching this and I'm just thinking, like, it's a little late, Chief. Like, he was asking her this on SmackDown last night. And so he's still asking her now. And it's like, well, what if she decided, you know what, Nick, on second thought, I think you're right. I think I would like to bow out. I don't know that I'm really all there. My knee hurts me. I'm not 100%. You know what? On second thought, I'm about to walk out to that ring. But fuck it. I don't want to wrestle tonight. It's a good thing that Tiffany was still okay with wrestling tonight. Because if she would have said no, that would have been a problem. Since they only booked four matches on this show. So thankfully, Tiffany was still okay with going out there and wrestling. So when they came back live into the arena, did I mention that they had about 10 commercials here before we finally were able to move the show on here? I'd rather it be done this way. I'm not complaining about that, but if you were wondering, are we getting commercials? The answer is yes. You're just not getting them during the matches. So at least that's better. But you're definitely getting them in between the matches. So when they come back from these commercials, they are showing us at ringside Paulie Shore and Post Malone, among a few others, are sitting at ringside here. And I'm like, where the hell did they dig up Paulie Shore from? What the fuck? What has he been up to? I'm trying to think of the last thing I would have seen Paulie Shore in. Honestly, like, I think the last thing I would have seen him in is Biodome. I don't know that I've seen him in anything since. I know he's been working, but I don't think I've seen him in anything since then. And how long ago was Biodome? Holy crap. there he was. Apparently he's a WWE fan. Either that or he's doing work with Peacock and they decided to put him on camera. That's probably what it was. So Jade was out first. And then Tiffany made her way out to the ring. And she had her knee all wrapped up. And right from the bell, here at the start of this match, Tiffany jumped Jade. Cargill, though, fought back. She flattened Tiffany with a huge chokeslam. Actually, that chokeslam looked great, I thought. Jade then hit a pump handle flipping slam for a two count. She threw Tiffany across the ring and into the corner. She charged in. Stratton, though, moved out of the way. See, I'm not the only one who saw Biodome, right? See, Biodome, it still stands out to me. I don't know if it still holds up. I'm not going to go back and watch it. But when I think of Pauly Shore, that's the first thing I think of, is the movie Biodome. Had to be from the late 90s, right? I don't think it was made after the turn of the century. Pretty sure that would have been maybe like, I don't know, 90, 99-ish maybe? God, I don't even know. So anyway, she charged in. Like I said, Tiffany moved. Stratton went up top. She was having issues with her knee. Jade knocked her into a tree of woe, which of course caused the knee to be wrenched in the ropes. She pulled Stratton out of the ring, dropped her head first, actually face first, onto the ring apron. Cargill laid Tiffany out on the ring steps. Tiffany, though, caught her and tripped Jade face first into the steps. And I went, shit, I'm just thinking of that fucking scar on her face. That's how she got busted open in the first place. She took a face first bump into the ring steps. And thankfully, she was able to protect her face this time, but it was close. Can you imagine? She like opens it up. Maybe she should get like a matching scar on the other eyebrow, so at least for consistency. She has one on each side. So then she threw Jade back into the ring. Tiffany went up top. Cargill met her there, though. Stratton threw Jade off and then hit her swanton, only for a two count. So now Tiffany is clutching at the bad knee. Stratton gets up. Cargill hits a blue thunderbomb for a two count. Then she hits a fallaway slam. And then another, and then another. Tiffany's still holding on, though. She's still trying to hang in there. So Jade hit a sit-out powerbomb for another near fall. Then she hits a powerbomb. She immediately picks Tiffany up and hits another powerbomb. Then she picks Tiffany up and she hits Jaded. And she covers her. She sits back on her. And she gets the three count. And just like that, Jade Cargill, for the first time in her WWE career, wins a singles championship. She is the new WWE Women's Champion. This is exactly what this match needed to be. This was basically the female equivalent of Brock Lesnar against John Cena at WrestlePalooza. That's exactly what this was. That match maybe went 2 or 3 minutes longer. It was almost the same length. It was a situation where the heel, in this case, took 95% of the match. They gave the babyface some hope spots, a little bit of offense. They tried to make a comeback, but they failed. They got demolished in the closing minutes of the match, and then they lost. It was the same formula. But for Jade, this is exactly what she needed, right? I mean, Brock didn't need a win like that. The fuck does he need that for? But Jade is the one who just got turned heel. Jade is the one who went into SummerSlam and lost to Tiffany. Jade is the one who got fucked up and has a scar in her face now. But she just got turned heel. You could not send this woman in there and lose. You couldn't do that. There was no point in booking this match unless Jade was going to come out on top and win the championship. So the outcome was preordained from the moment this match was made. But in terms of how they handled it and how they booked it, it could not have gone any better. They cater to Jade's strengths. Jade is not somebody who's going to go in there and have a long wrestling match, right? She's not a finesse performer. She's all about power moves, right? She's bigger than a lot of the women on the roster. She looks like $1 million. She can go in there and pick you up and toss you around the ring with a bunch of fallaway slams and then kip up to her feet. She could toss you around like a rag doll. She throws a mean pump kick. Right? Bicycle kick, whatever you want to call it. There's certain things that she's very good at. They tried here in this match to really cater to that. Tiffany was a very simple story with her. She was the baby face, even though I will tell you, I think Tiffany is a terrible baby face. Tiffany Stratton, she is a good performer, But in terms of being a babyface, I think she's fucking terrible at it. She's a much better heel. This babyface Tiffany Stratton, she's popular. I'm not saying she's not popular, but it just, for me anyway, just like watching that character on TV, it never resonates with me as a babyface. So in the long run, she's probably better off going heel also, but Jade going heel was the right move. So I just thought they handled this exactly the way that they should have. She basically just wasn't a total squash, but she more or less squashed Tiffany here. But Tiffany had the out with the bum knee, right? She had the injury coming into the match. So the loss doesn't hurt her at all. The woman was undefeated for most of the year. They have kept Tiffany incredibly strong, including a WrestleMania win over Charlotte Flair. So it's not like you can watch this match and go, oh my God, what have they done with Tiffany? She lost to Jade. Yeah, well, Jade is the one they've been wanting to push this entire year. Everything was building to this moment. And now that she's the champion, it's only a matter of time before Bianca Belair comes back. And when she does, right, you don't go to it right away, but that probably will end up being the WrestleMania match, depending on when Bianca is actually able to get medically cleared. You could see the vision. I mean, it's very clear of where this is ultimately going to. The problem still remains whether you have Tiffany Stratton as the champion, Jade Cargill as the champion, or Sala Monster as the women's champion. It doesn't matter. You could put anybody in that spot. They still have a massive problem when it comes to the women's division on SmackDown. They do not have enough depth. They don't. And you have two former women's world champions in Charlotte and Alexa Bliss who are currently doing the tag team thing. So you could take them out of the equation for now. So what are you really left with in the women's division on SmackDown? Not a whole hell of a lot. You have a lot of people who are at that level of the U.S. title, right? Julia and Kiana James, and they're doing stuff with Chelsea Green, and Zelina Vega just got paired up with Aleister Black. Meechan hasn't even been on TV lately, right? Who else is there, realistically, right? I mean, this division is in dire need of some new faces and baby faces now that they have a heel as the champion. So good for Jade, but she's in the same spot Tiffany was in. You need challengers for her. You need challengers for her, or this reign is going to die on the vine. And with this talk about them adding people to the creative team to assist Road Dogg, and they recognize that the show has issues and they're trying to correct these issues, I hope that's true. I hope that's true. Those are the reports a few weeks ago. They have yet to manifest those changes where the women's division is concerned. Right? There were some certain things about the show in recent weeks that seemed like they were kind of heading in the right direction. Not yet with the women's division, and I hope they work on that very quickly, or else it's going to be a very boring run having this dominant champion who doesn't have anybody to go in there and work with. Now, speaking of championships, every match on this show was a championship match. So the next one was a triple threat match for the Intercontinental title. It was Dirty Dom Mysterio putting his title on the line against Penta and Rusev. Two men here in this match who have been tormented by Dom now for weeks on TV. So now, Dom, you would think, oh my God, right? It's almost like a handicap match here, right? This championship has got to be in grave jeopardy. Yeah, right. Did anybody honestly believe that Dom was not walking out of Utah with the Intercontinental title? I don't think I was interacting with anybody this week after I did the predictions who said they thought Dom was actually going to lose this match. And yet, it turned out to be the best match on the entire show. This match was actually, this match right here ended up being quite fun. It was in-ring the best thing on Saturday night's main event. Now, as the bell rang, Rusev and Penta, they attacked Dom, and they took turns stomping him and punching him. There was a moment here, and this will probably be talked about by a lot of people. There was a moment here where Rusev, I don't remember exactly where, it was early in the match, but Rusev was outside the ring, and he walked by this little kid, this little boy, in the front row, and he scared the shit out of this little kid, and I laughed. Like, the kid retreated. He recoiled. And look, that's what heels used to do back in the day. They would walk around the ringside area, they would interact with the fans and scare little kids. Right now, all the heels these days are on social media. You see their real lives and they're nice people. It's nice to see a heel who can actually scare the shit out of somebody. I mean, look, if Rusev came at me, yeah, with a big mean look on his face, I'd probably turn the other way too. So Rusev picked up Mysterio, threw him across the ring like the small child that he just scared. Dom rolled out of the ring, Rusev followed, and Dom put his head into the ring post. Penta dove through the ropes, he took out Rusev. Then Dom did the same, he took out Penta. Later on, Mysterio tripped up Rusev. He went for a 619. Rusev, though, caught his legs on the swing, and then he pulled him into the ring. He slapped on the accolade. Penta broke that up pretty quickly, though, with a super kick. Penta went for a springboard. Rusev, though, caught him and slammed him. And then he set Penta up on the top turnbuckle. Penta, though, fought free. And at this point, Mysterio brought a chair into the ring. And Dom tried the old Eddie Guerrero spot, right? He turned to good old dad, and he went with the Eddie Guerrero spot. He tossed the chair to Rusev, who, of course, was dumb enough to catch the chair instead of just letting it fall to the ground, just as the referee turned to find the chair in the possession of Rusev. And Dom thought he was slick. He thought he had pulled one over on him, but the referee is looking at this like, wait a minute, like, dude, it's a triple threat match. There are no rules. There are no disqualifications. So Rusev smiles, and he uses the chair on Dom, and he hits him with the chair a couple of times. After this, they did a spot where Penta used Rusev, who was on all fours. He used Rusev basically as a step stool to hit Dom with a Mexican destroyer, and then he hit a tornado DDT to Rusev. Penta went for the destroyer on Rusev, who caught him and hit an Alabama slam. Penta came back with a Penta driver to Rusev for a close near fall. And then Penta went up top. He jumped off and he landed right in a Rusev kick. So he's all wobbly now. And he goes down and Rusev applies the accolade. And all of a sudden we hear the bell. The ring bell is being rung and everybody looks very confused and I'm confused. And, you know, second-guessing what we're hearing here. But Rusev, the dumb shit that he is, of course, thinks, oh, well, I'm the champion now. That's it. The bell is ringing. He must have given up. He doesn't second-guess anything, right? He's celebrating, and the referee's like, no, no, no. He didn't give up. And they look over to the timekeeper's area, and, of course, it's Dom, who has the ring bell hammer in his hand. He was the one ringing the bell and distracting him. It's not very hard to distract people in this company. So this angered Rusev greatly. He went outside. He ragdolled Dom all around the ringside area. Mysterio, though, shoved Rusev into the steps. And then he climbed back into the ring. And he had the bell hammer. And Penta stopped him, grabbed the hammer. He went to go hit Dom with it, but Dom ducked. And he hit Rusev instead. Blasted him with the hammer. Mysterio then dropped Penta. Then he went up top. He hit a frog splash on Rusev for the pin to retain the championship. Mike, you know, I saw something the other day that said that Rusev and I think Aleister Black together had already in their WWE returns lost more matches than they ever lost in the entirety, the years-long entirety of their respective runs in AEW. But I'm just looking at Rusev alone and the matches that he's lost. He has easily lost more matches here just in the months that he has been back in WWE than he did his entire run in AEW. But to be fair, I'm not really sure how many matches he even wrestled in AEW in the last, I don't know, 2 years, 2.5 years. Not very many. So he takes the loss here again, and Dom wins the match. He retains the championship. I thought it was a fun match. It never dragged. I think they kept things moving along nicely here. You know, I never bought into Dom losing the title. But again, it's the same thing with Drew, and I mentioned it before, where Penta and Rusev, they've had multiple opportunities now at this championship. And at what point do you look at this and go, it's time to move on. This is getting boring. You know, watching the same people lose the same matches against the same person over and over again and fail to win the championship. Who's next? Because I don't want to keep seeing these guys go in there, especially Penta. And yeah, they spared him from taking the pin here, but still, he lost. And so there were rumors that Dom might be wrestling and even defending the title against John Cena at Survivor Series, which I think is still very much possible. you know, even though they have all eyes towards this tournament and who's going to be his final opponent, Cena is scheduled for Survivor Series. Now, they never said he was going to wrestle at Survivor Series, but that would be pretty fucking lame in his last ever Survivor Series if he goes in there and doesn't wrestle. So I assume Cena's wrestling somebody on that show. It may well be Dom. So, you know, and I'm sure most people saw the same rumors about that. There was no way he was losing that championship here. He may lose that championship to John Cena, but it was the outcome I think that most people probably expected. And since I'm talking so much here about John Cena, that brings me to what we had next here on the show, which was unexpected. This was not anything they announced that the Cena was not there, but anything Cena related was not mentioned, right? But it does make sense because the next Saturday night's main event happens to be John Cena's final match. So they pitched it to an excerpt, a sneak peek of a sit-down interview that John Cena did with reporter Tom Rinaldi that they said is going to be dropping soon. And in the clip, Cena said that he made a promise that he would not stick around when his skills cannot match the product, that he says they can't. Physical activity, he said 100%, and he very rarely speaks in absolutes, but he says, I will hear, never again will he be physical. Never again will he be back in the ring because he doesn't want to let his fans down. He doesn't want to lie to people. You know, when he told everybody last year that that was going to be it, the end of 2025 was going to be the end of his in-ring career. It was going to be the last time we would ever see him in the jorts and the t-shirt and the hat and the sneakers. That's it. Right? It's like The Undertaker. Undertaker has maintained that you will never see him in his old school dead man Undertaker gear ever again. Like if he was to come out and do a choke slam or something, which he's done, by the way, multiple times. He did it at WrestleMania last year. He did it in NXT with Trick Williams. But he's always out there as the American Badass. You know, he has stuck to his guns outside, I think, of one appearance in Saudi. And of course, it's the Saudis. So if they want him, he'll do whatever they want him to do. I think it was some kind of sporting event, soccer game. I forgot what it was. He got his full dead man entrance, dead man gear. He came out, I think, present some kind of trophy. Outside of that, I can't think of a single appearance he's made in his old Undertaker gear. And John Cena has maintained the same thing. Like at the end of 2025, that's it. Next time you see him, he'll be in a suit or he'll be wearing something else. So people, of course, we have all heard and seen wrestlers say shit like this before. Oh, I'm done. This is my retirement, right? We know how wrestling retirements generally go. John Cena is one person who, when he says he's done, I believe that he's done. When Batista said that his last match ever would be that WrestleMania 35 match against Triple H, I believe him. I believe him. Not just because he's got Hollywood to fall back on, but because it was very clear that it meant a lot to him that his last opponent would be Triple H, considering how much Triple H did for him in his career. I don't ever see him coming back and ruining that. So that was the gist of what Cena wanted to communicate here. I'm being 100% honest with you guys. I'm done after this next match. So then they aired a video, and it was narrated by John Cena, promoting his final match for the next Saturday night's main event. It is coming up on December 13th. And he's talking about all the speculation about who his final opponent is going to be. He wants someone to step up and seize the same opportunity that he was given on his first day. He says the spot will not be given. It will be hard earned. So starting a week from Monday, when Raw comes to his hometown of Boston, they will kick off a 16-man tournament to decide which talent is going to move on to DC next month and wrestle him in his final ever match. And he said that it will include talent from Raw. It will include talent from SmackDown. It will include talent from NXT. And even talent that doesn't work here from other places. A mix of old faces and plenty of new ones with the winner facing him in his last match. So they are dubbing this the Last Time Is Now tournament. That's what they're calling it. And by the way, apologize to Dave. Meltzer is the one who reported this first about there being a tournament to crown Cena's last opponent. So everybody who mocked him for that specific report, apologize. Apologize to Dave, because he got that one right. I assume this is why. They did not want to even entertain the idea of doing a tournament for the World Heavyweight Championship and trying to kind of get more mileage out of this and get a lot of TV out of this over the next several weeks, lead into Survivor Series, crown a new champion there. Probably a combination of this and whatever their War Games plans might be. But, you know, they didn't want to run another tournament at the same time when the focus is going to be on this Last Time Is Now tournament. And I get it. I understand it. You know, that's right now, that's the more important thing. They want to focus on that. It's a big 16-man bracket. It's going to be a lot of people involved. So, I mean, that explains why they probably never even entertained the idea, you know, of doing a tournament for the world title. I think it's a great way to make the weekly shows interesting as this tournament plays. I'm actually very much looking forward to seeing how this tournament plays out. I like the fact that it is cross-branded. I like that they went with a 16-man bracket instead of an 8-man bracket. And even more, I like that they are teasing the possibility, and they wouldn't be teasing it if we were not going to get people from other promotions, but they are teasing the idea that, hey, there might even be a few faces in this thing that don't work for WWE. Or maybe they used to work for WWE and they no longer work for WWE. And again, a lot of people, I'm already seeing it. A lot of people are going to be going, Adam Copeland. Edge, baby. Edge is coming back. It's going to be John Cena and Edge in his final match. I don't know why. Does that match even really appeal to people? Like for his final opponent? I mean, I guess so. There are people that consider Edge to be his greatest rival. For me, it's CM Punk. But I guess I could see where if you believe that Copeland is his greatest rival, since we already had Orton and Cena, and we had Punk and Cena, it's only right that we get, you know, Cena and Edge one last time. To me, that doesn't appeal to me as far as his final match is concerned. It is not going to be Adam Copeland. Unless Adam Copeland's contract secretly ran out last month with AEW, and Tony Khan stayed very quiet about it. He is under contract to AEW. And I cannot envision a scenario with the bad blood that exists between these two promotions. Not the talent, right? The talent, they all get along great. It's this fucking stupid war that exists among the people who run these companies because, you know, they're both, especially WWE, petty as shit. I cannot envision a scenario in which Adam Copeland is allowed to participate in a tournament to crown John Cena's final opponent, let alone go in there and lose. To be in the tournament and not even win, or if he wins the tournament, go on and lose to John Cena. Like, no. And anybody who's getting excited about this, all you're doing is setting yourself up for disappointment. I'm just warning you. Don't set yourself up for disappointment when it comes to that. And Jericho's another one too, by the way. There's a better chance that maybe Jericho could be in it, but as far as anybody knows, Jericho is under contract still to AEW. So it ain't going to be him either, but it sure as hell ain't going to be Adam Copeland. So what does that mean? Well, TNA happens to be a promotion that they are very chummy with lately, and they have a partnership, an actual partnership with TNA. And they just did a whole Invasion show with them a few weeks ago. And there are plenty of people on the TNA roster that I could see being a part of this thing, including some old faces that John Cena would be very familiar with, including Nick Nemeth and Matt Cardona. And there's another guy, by the way, who has been lobbying all year for a match with John Cena. Now, I don't think he's going to get it, but at least maybe he can get himself in the tournament, and that would be Joe Hendry. I could absolutely see any or all three of those guys as a part of this tournament. And then you look at NXT, because it's open to NXT, so you're going to have at least one NXT name in there. Is it going to be a Trick Williams? Is it going to be Oba Femi? Is that the way they want to debut Oba Femi on the main roster, by having him go in there and potentially lose in a tournament like this? Because I just don't see him being the final opponent, right? It's possible. It would be one way, I guess, to potentially launch him in the eyes of people who may not be familiar with who he is. Javon Evans, You know, is Javon Evans going to get a spot in this tournament? I'd give him one. He's one of the most exciting performers in the entire company to watch. One of the fast, young, rising stars. Why wouldn't you have him in this tournament? You know, you look at other names that are on the main roster right now. You got Sheamus, right? He's had some battles with John Cena before. He should absolutely be in the tournament. Carmelo Hayes, Miz. Don't be surprised if they do the Miz-Carmelo Hayes match as a part of this tournament. And then there's Gunther. And Gunther is who I think the final opponent is going to be. Gunther is the one who I think is going in there and beating John Cena at Saturday night's main event. Whether it's for the Intercontinental title or not, again, that depends on whether Cena wrestles Dom at Survivor Series. It's going to be Gunther. Now, maybe we get a Gunther-Ilya Dragunov match or a Gunther-Ilya Dragunov final in that tournament. What a fucking match that would be. That would be tremendous. But I think all roads lead to Gunther's return imminently. I think that's why they've been holding him out. They've been waiting for this. And I think that's what the match is going to be. But whoever it is, whatever they do, I like that they're doing this. And I think it should help make television a little more exciting in the weeks. Now, they did not announce when the finals would be. So it would make sense that it would be at Survivor Series. Which, I guess, depending on who's in that match, I don't really think it would affect anybody who would be in any rumored matches on that show. So if they were to do Cody and Drew again, or Cody and Drew and Randy, none of them have to be in the tournament. As far as War Games, if they did War Games not with the MFTs, and they had Punk and Roman and the Usos, again, some of them could be in the tournament. Maybe they lose, they don't make it to the finals. So you could do the finals. I mean, I guess it really just depends on who's in the finals. But Survivor Series would seem to be the place to do it. Because Saturday night's main event is what, 2 weeks later? 2.5 weeks later? It's not a lot of time after Survivor Series until you get to that final match. So that would seem to be the destination. They just didn't confirm that here in this video. Now they closed with the main event to crown a brand new world heavyweight champion between CM Punk and Jey Uso. You know the story. Adam Pearce, he stripped Seth Rollins of the World Heavyweight Championship due to injury. We had a battle royal a few weeks ago because Punk had already been named number one contender. He had earned that spot. So they had the battle royal to crown another number one contender who would face CM Punk, and that's how we ended up with Jey Uso. So we get started here, and Jey gives Punk a shove, and Punk tries to very quickly hit a GTS. Uso got out of it. There was a neckbreaker spot early in this match where Jey, it was a simple neckbreaker. Jey just, he over-rotated. He kept going, and it was just, it fell apart. He kept spinning, and the spot just fell apart. I have no idea what he thought Punk was going for. So Jey seemed dazed after this. Punk started throwing chops. Punk charged, and Jey caught him with a Samoan drop. Jey went for a spear, but Punk caught him and hit another neckbreaker. There was another spot where Jey was in the corner, and he was setting up for a Roman Reigns spear. As he came in, though, Punk stuffed the attempt. Just the way that he being Jey, just the way that he braced for it and kind of stopped as he was coming in and fell down. He sort of fell down like... It didn't look good. I'm watching this and I'm like, man, what's going on with Jey here? Like, this is fucking awful. He looked fucking terrible here in this match. So they kept a deliberately slow pace early on, very deliberate. Punk finally connected with the GTS. Jey fell out of the ring. And instead of going out to get him, Punk decided to look shocked for a while. Yes, that's very helpful. Instead of going, because the championship is at stake here, let me just lay here and look shocked by what happened. Like, I've never seen someone fall out of the ring before after a GTS. So he finally jumped out of the ring and he grabbed a bottle of water. He dumped it on Jey to try to wake him up. And then he threw him back in the ring. I don't know what purpose that served, but okay. Punk placed Jey on the top turnbuckle. He tried for a superplex. Uso blocked it, headbutted Punk back down to the mat. Uso went for a stomp and Punk moved out of the way. So Jay went for a spear. Punk, though, caught him with a GTS attempt. Jay got out of it. He hit the spear anyway. Then an Uso splash, but Punk kicked out at two. And after that near fall, they got a very light, "This is awesome" chant from the crowd here in Salt Lake City. And the chant very quickly died down. Very quickly. It petered out. Because, in fact, this was not awesome. And I think even a lot of the fans in the crowd realized, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, stop chanting. And so they quickly did. So Jay went back up top. Punk met him there with a pair of right hands. He climbed up with him. We got a superplex by Punk. Very dumb, because Punk looked more pained than Jay did. He landed hard on his lower back. He was clutching his back. He hurt himself more than he did Jay. So they exchanged blows. Punk got him up for another GTS. Jay slipped out, and he delivered a super kick that sent Punk out to the floor. And then Jay followed with a suicide dive, and he wiped out Punk. And at least at this point in the match, Jay looked like he actually had some life to him again. I don't know what was going on in the first half of this match. He was fucking out of it. But he was starting to, I don't know, get a second wind, I guess. So they made it back into the ring to break the count. Punk, though, fell back out to the floor. So Jay went outside. He was measuring him. And he goes and he spears Punk through the timekeeper's barricade. Well, there's a spot that we don't see enough of. Again, he's trying to be Roman Reigns here in this match. So he spears him right through the barricade. Jay picks him up. He dumps him back into the ring. He heads up top again for an Uso splash. This time, though, Punk got the knees up. Punk hoists him up, and he hits the GTS. And Punk covers him, and Jay kicks out at two. Punk then looks for a pile driver. Jay, though, countered out of it into a GTS of his own. Jay hit the ropes, but now Punk cuts him down with a spear. A very weak spear. And he covers him, but only for two. That may have honestly been the worst spear I have ever seen in all my life. CM Punk should never, ever do that again. So Jay staggered back to his feet. Punk hoisted him up, hit another GTS. Jay bounced off the ropes, basically fell backwards. And then he landed back on top of Punk, so he was going to go for another GTS. But Jay suddenly came to life. And he got Punk down in the sleeper hold, the same sleeper hold that he beat Gunther with to win the world title of WrestleMania. I love how Jay just completely no-sold the GTS here. So now he's got this sleeper hold applied. Punk then counters that into an Anaconda Vice, but Jay got to the bottom rope for the break. Jay got a quick crucifix pin attempt only for two. Two super kicks by Uso. He came in for the spear. Punk, though, kicked him. Another GTS. He picked him up again. For yet another GTS, the finisher spam here was very crazy. And Punk finally got the pin to win the World Heavyweight Championship. And CM Punk is now, according to Michael Cole, he is now a 7-time World Heavyweight Champion. Or so they say. They are not counting his ECW World title run. They are not counting either. Obviously, they're not counting either of his AEW title runs or Ring of Honor run. So in terms of the WWE main roster and all the different variations of the world championship over the years that he's held outside of ECW, he's a 7-time world champion. So the referee hands the belt to Punk. Jay is just sitting on the floor outside. There was nothing with Jimmy. Jimmy was there. They showed Jimmy. He was kind of sparring and helping Jay, you know, get ready for the match earlier in the back, but he didn't come out with him. He didn't come out after the match. He didn't get involved in the match. Punk gets on the ropes with the championship. They set off a bunch of pyro behind him in the background, and that's how they went off the air. So again, no Jimmy Uso, no Vision. The Bronze were not there. That shocked me that they made no appearance whatsoever. They did not get involved in this. They did not even attempt to get involved in this. They played it straight. They played this right down the middle to keep the focus on Punk's title win. And ideally, they would have dragged this out longer, but again, the circumstances with the John Cena tournament made that impossible. So if someone had to win this and walk out of Salt Lake City as the champion, I'm glad it was CM Punk and not Jey Uso. Jey had his run. I don't really have any, and again, I don't have anything against Jey Uso. I do think that he gets a lot of undue hate. My issue is not with him personally or having a push, because he's very over. I do not want to see Jey Uso as world heavyweight champion. I certainly do not want to see Jey Uso as world heavyweight champion if it's going to be, you know, mostly consisting of matches like what we saw in the first half of this match here tonight. I did not like this match. Now, it did get better, got a little bit better as the match went on, but to me, this was the worst thing on the entire show. Not even close. The worst thing on the entire show. Like, the Jade match was intentionally short and dominant, so that was a little bit different. The opening match was good. The triple threat match was good. I thought that was the best part of the show, and this was easily the weakest. I don't know what was going on. It was just a sloppy mess in the first half, and Jay just looked slow and gassed and just out of it. And this was at the beginning of the match. It's not as if he was selling like a long match and he's drained. And it's like, dude, this is like the first fucking 5 minutes of the match. Like, what's going on here? So I don't know what was going on there, but both men have had better matches than what we saw here on this show. Bron Breakker will have his time. Bron Breakker will be the world heavyweight champion. They have their plans for when that's going to be and what that's going to look like. And even Seth Rollins getting hurt is not going to disrupt those plans, right? Injuries be damned. They're going to stay the course, and they're going to save that for whenever that may be, probably sometime next year. So now we wait and see if Punk is going to end up in War Games tagging with Roman Reigns and the Usos, or if they're going to go a completely different way with that War Games match. No surprises on this show. They played it exactly the way that I expected them to. Punk wins the title. Jade wins the title. Cody retains. Dom retains. And then the only real addition was the John Cena stuff, you know, where we got to learn what their plans are for not even Survivor Series, but for what they plan on doing as far as his final opponent is concerned. It never felt like a PLE, even though it was on Peacock. You know, we think about these things when they're streaming on Peacock or they're streaming on ESPN. It's a premium live event, right? Because this is not on NBC anymore. It's not on TV anymore. This was not a PLE. This, as I said earlier, was like a souped up version of Raw or SmackDown, where we got some good matches. It was a newsworthy show because we have a new world champion, a new women's champion, and the John Cena announcement. And that'll be the real news coming out. Nothing more, nothing less. But I appreciate the lack of commercials during the actual matches. That'll be the nice thing about these shows being on Peacock. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, World Mental Health Day recently passed on October 10th, but just because that day may have come and gone doesn't mean we can't take a moment to say thank you to all the therapists out there. BetterHelp therapists have helped over 5 million people worldwide on their mental health journeys, whether it be coping with a loss in their life or finding out how to become a better version of themselves. BetterHelp is honoring those connections and the therapists who make them possible, and is showing just how easy it is to get guidance from a licensed therapist online. I've used BetterHelp myself in the past for something that I would consider minor, but you'd be surprised how quickly something minor could turn into something major if left untreated. For me, it was incredibly helpful just to have someone to talk to, and for that, I will say thank you as well. And if it helped me, I know it can help you too. Finding the right therapist can be life-changing, and BetterHelp makes that process simple. They do the initial matching work for you so that you can focus on your therapy goals. You fill out a short questionnaire that helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate mean they usually get it right the first time. But if for any reason you're not happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time. And all BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. As the world's largest online therapy platform with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp has an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on more than 1.7 million client reviews. The numbers don't lie. This World Mental Health Day, we're celebrating the therapists who have helped millions of people take a step forward. If you're ready to find the right therapist for you, BetterHelp can help you start that journey. Solid Monster listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/solidmonster. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/solidmonster. What did you think of Saturday night's main event from Salt Lake City? We go to the Twitter poll. 65% thumbs up, 35% thumbs down, with just under 900 votes in so far and counting. So at Solemn Monster, you can go ahead and vote in the poll. Let me know what you think. What did you think of Utah Saturday night's main event? CM Punk becomes world heavyweight champion in Salt Lake City. Probably not the way most people would have envisioned that happening. But people get hurt, and you got to come up with a plan B, and this was their plan B. That's how it goes. Bash says they need to move all the WWE shows to ESPN so I can cancel Peacock. Well, you still got the NXT shows on here as well, if you care. Start with Holiday 197. Says, sadly, I think Cody's keeping the title until WrestleMania to defend against Randy. Cody's latest run has been milquetoast. The Cody-Randy match already happened at King of the Ring. Not interested in their feud. Boy, yeah, that's sort of forgotten about, isn't it? That's right, they did wrestle in the finals of the King of the Ring. Toya with a 5. What if Brock Lesnar causes the win for both Punk and Jay? What if Brock Lesnar causes the win? Just a thought. I'm not sure what you mean. Both Punk and Jay? Well, obviously Brock Lesnar did not get involved. But if he did, it would not have been to help both men. It would have been to kill both men. Brock Lesnar was not showing up on a Saturday night's main event in Salt Lake City, Utah. That was not going to happen. We got the real CS02. Drew got screwed again. What kind of shit show is Nick Aldis running over there on SmackDown? I think Nick doesn't want him to be champion. So is the plan that we're going to get a Drew McIntyre-Nick Aldis match? Instead of him becoming world champion, he gets to wrestle the GM? Now, that'd be a great step up for him. Base Beerus says, Rikishi weeps tonight. Yeah, best wishes to Rikishi. I know he had, some kind of major surgery recently and seems to be doing well, but hopefully he is okay. Super Pony, that was Jay's best match. Punk is him. Also, Drew is a loser. If you think that was Jay's best match, then you haven't seen very many Jey Uso matches. He has had better matches than the one he had tonight. I did not like that match at all. Holiday 197. We need to see riskier moves around the booking of the main title pictures. First Kevin Owens and now Drew McIntyre, who should have had recent runs, even if for 1 to 3 months, they've been overlooked in favor of playing things safe. Well, hey, they have their promo photos and posters and everything with the champion on them done months in advance. You can't fuck up their promotional photos now, can you? Probably have Cody in those photos at least through April. Duff's Vids, how do you make one disappear? Put a G in it. That's right, and then they're gone. Who told you that one? Who told you that one? Toya says Saturday night's main event was okay. No surprises, no shock and awe. Hey, I'm not saying these shows need to be shock and awe, but there's certainly there's some things they could have done to make things a little more interesting, and they chose not to do so. Jimmy, watching the review on a phone while on a ship in the Caribbean, possibly the first Super Chat while at sea. Did not watch Saturday night's main event for the record. I wouldn't either if I was on the fucking ship in the Caribbean. Saturday night's main event would be the last thing on my mind. Well, Jimmy, I hope you enjoy your trip. I'd love to be in the Caribbean right now. I could use a vacation. Duff's Vids, my nephew put his shoes on the wrong feet. I don't know where he got those wrong feet from. How does an Englishman invite a dinosaur for drinks? T-Rex? T-Rex? I get it. Also, where do you take your dog if it loses its tail? To the retail store. Naturally. Jeremy Rose, this show was cookie cutter as fuck. There's never any creativity in these shows. Every match outcome is simply the easiest, boring result. I can't disagree. That's sort of the state of WWE today. The sheltered kid. You think Samantha Irvin will ever come back to WWE? I mean, I can't say she'll never go back, but I don't think she has any interest in going back, no. Not for a very, very long time. She wasn't happy there. They didn't get rid of her. She got rid of them. She has aspirations to do other things in wrestling that WWE didn't want her doing. So I don't see any reason for her to go back. Ragnarok, for Cena's final opponent, I'm still hoping for Obafemi. If they don't debut him there, then maybe in the Rumble and get... Well, they're not debuting him there because he would have to debut in the tournament first. So it's not like he would be first debuting on that show in DC. He would have to win the tournament. If not there, then maybe in the Rumble and give him the monster spot. Yeah, that would be fine. Give him like, 12 or 13 eliminations. Who has the record? Is it Roman? I think Roman has the record. I want to say 13 eliminations, maybe. Give him 14. Actually, don't give him 14. I think that would be lame as fuck. That's too many people. But let him go in there and destroy a bunch of people. That works. Jeremy says, why do you think the ring had no ads tonight? Usually the ring has 5+ ads. Turnbuckle ads didn't even have Slim Jim tables. Are they trying? You know, I didn't even notice. They had a giant Saturday Night's Main Event logo in the middle of the ring. Now that I think about it, the ring actually did look cleaner. Are they charging too much? Yes, I would say so. Apparently, they were very disappointed with the tickets. I don't know about tonight, but they were in Salt Lake City for SmackDown last night, and they were very disappointed. I think Fightful mentioned that. Good. Good. I hope they start to feel pain when it comes to their tickets. I don't know that it's going to change their viewpoint on how much they should be charging for them, but I hope they start to feel some real pain because that might be the only way that they decide to bring things down a little bit. But that just seems very unlikely to me right now. I don't think that they want to bring it down. I think they want to drive it up even more. Duff's Vid says, why is elevator music just okay? Because it's got its ups and downs. Stephen B, Cody match was the worst. And well, I disagree. And Breaker can win the title at the Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble. That's interesting. You know, you could, I agree with you on that because you could do that match. Breaker could win the championship at the Royal Rumble. You know, if they want him winning the title in Saudi, he could win the title there. And Punk could still win the Rumble itself or the Elimination Chamber. And then feud with Cody going into WrestleMania. Then you could do Braun Breaker and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Which, again, that doesn't have to be for the championship, but if Braun was the champion, I think him defending against Roman and beating him, you would have to beat him. That is definitely a WrestleMania-worthy match. Jeremy says, so every WWE champion has AEW roots. Shaking my head, Tony Khan. Well, we have World Heavyweight Champion CM Punk. We have WWE Champion Cody Rhodes. We have Women's Champion Jade Cargill. You want to expand it out to NXT? We've got NXT Champion Ricky Saints. NXT Women's North American Champion Blake Monroe. And NXT Men's North American Champion Ethan Page. That's a lot of former AEW talents that are holding gold right now in WWE. Bobby's World with the 21. Just chilling tonight. Got a notification. Join Solomonster for Saturday night's main event review. Me. Oh, yeah, that was tonight. Oh, well, solo stream is all that matters, so here I am. Bobby, see, Bobby knows where it's at. Bobby knows where it's at. Bobby doesn't even have to watch Saturday night's main event. He just has to show up for the stream. Steph, oh, you want to count Steph? You know what? I guess you could count Stephanie, too. Stephanie appeared in AEW as well. That's right. Forgot about that. I mean, she was never really a part of AEW, though. So technically, really shouldn't be counting her. Sean Nilsson, Tiffy time is over. No, you see, it's Taffy time. Taffy time is over. Did you notice, by the way, in the video package before the match, when they had that soundbite from SmackDown last night, they cut that part out where she said Taffy, and they just kept time. She says, your time is over. It's like, oh, man, they cut the Taffy out. Colin, once again, Triple Safe did his standard Saturday night's main event PLE booking tonight. Once again, Rusev eats a huge slice of jobber pie. How's it taste? Duff's Vids, I had a strange dream last night. I dreamt I was in an ocean, but it was orange soda instead of blue seawater. Turned out to be a Fanta Sea. A Fanta joke, really? A Fanta joke? For shame, Duff's Vids. Jeremy Rose, Punk with the mic drop. Posting pic of him and of him, Jade, Cody, Ricky showing their world titles. Gotta love wrestling even when the show is boring. Did he post that? I haven't seen that yet. Super Pony. Cody versus Drew had the exact same finish as KO against Cody from Saturday night's main event last year. The only difference is Cody used the belt instead of the chair. Lazy booking. John Johnson. Name a single one versus one Jey Uso match better than Warrior Savage or Warrior Hogan at WrestleMania. Jey still having cardio issues 12 months after the World Heavyweight Championship win is alarming. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's nerves. I don't know, but he did not look good in the first half of that match. Holiday said they need to draft. They need a draft to move some tag teams to Raw and some women's wrestlers to SmackDown and to mix up the men's mid/upper card scenes on both shows. They definitely need a shakeup. Holy shit wrestling. Jade does the psycho clown face ripoff spot by grabbing at both sides of her scar. Super Pony, who's getting paid more to eat pins, Drew or Finn? Oh, definitely Drew. You know, when Drew signed his new contract, The Rock presented him or had him presented with like a sword. It's like a signing bonus. I can only imagine what that new contract was for. I'm guessing it's more than... I'm sure Balor makes good coin too, but I'm sure Drew probably got the better end of that. Be my guess. Holiday, thoughts on WWE using AI to write storylines instead of using people? That is not what they're doing. And hopefully they never will. I think that would be terrible. Base beer is Jay's lazy. Needs to coordinate his matches better. Also, Jay looks utterly lost when not doing his routine. Too much yeeting last night. Maybe that's what it was. Alexander, WWE needs to stop treating the WWE title like a Fabergé egg. It's okay for the belt to switch hands and give someone else a chance to sit on the throne. Oh, don't say egg around these parts. Remember Vince and his golden egg? Brings back bad memories. No eggs. Super Pony. Yes, another super chat about Drew losing. Can't you tell I'm upset about it? Oh, I could tell. Who's a bigger loser, him, Kevin Owens, or LA Knight? Well, I mean, I was going to say LA Knight, but considering Drew has been crying about this since Clash at the Castle, it was 3 years ago, I'm inclined to go with Drew. Jeremy Rose, when I said, are they charging too much? I meant for ads. I know tickets they are, assuming no company wanted to pay price to advertise tonight. No, I don't know that that's the issue. There's always going to be sponsors that are willing to pay to get their logo out there. I don't know why they didn't have ads tonight. You know, the ads that you see on Raw, that's a Raw thing with Netflix. And Slim Jim is the title sponsor. So every Monday night, the Slim Jim logo is right in the middle. And you have all those additional logos in each corner. These shows, you know, this is an NBC Universal thing. And it was on NBC up until recently. I don't know if maybe there were, you know, there's certain terms in the contract that, because now that I think about it, I don't know that they've had ads on previous Saturday night's main event, like in the ring. I mean, maybe they did, just offhand. I don't recall them having them. Paul Carpenter, do you think Triple H and TKO is more worried about Triple A and other projects more than his own company and not worried about more in-house problems? I think Triple H is too busy trying to up his own profile. I think he's involved in a lot of different things right now, and maybe he is taking his eye off the ball a little bit. Oz and Glorious says, I know five people who got comped tickets for themselves and a plus one from SEG/Delta Center for both nights here in Salt Lake City. Also saw a clip of a neckbreaker. Punk is shit. Yeah, that was not Punk's fault. I got news for you. But I wouldn't be surprised if they were doing some sort of ticket deal there. They did not sell well for last night, and I don't think they did very well tonight either. I don't know what the update was. I'm sure the number was higher by now, but I know as of a week ago, they didn't even have 5,000 tickets sold for tonight's show. And it could be waning interest in the product, but I think more than that, it just has to do with these prices that they're charging. At some point, like, not every show is going to be like this. And it might be market specific. It will depend on what market you're in. Raw is coming to Boston and is coming to Madison Square Garden in a few weeks. Now, they have the crutch of being able to advertise that that's going to be John Cena's final appearance in those cities. So, of course, they've sold 11,000, 12,000 tickets. You know, the tickets in Madison Square Garden, I don't know if it's sold out, but they're selling like crazy. And they'll sell in D.C. for his final match. But when John Cena is gone, right, and you don't have that one big attraction, are they going to be able to continue to sustain these numbers and sell 10, 11, 12, 13,000 tickets to these television shows every single week? At what point do they really begin feeling pain, you know, from these price points? That's the question. You know, and I think you're already starting to see signs of it in some of these markets. It's not a mass problem for them yet, but it could be a harbinger of things to come. Absolutely. You know, you get too greedy and that's what happens. Eventually it bites you in the ass. All right, we hit the main goal, so let's go ahead and be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Oh, man. Saturday night's main event. Sucks that I had to work during the World Series. Apparently, there's a hell of a game going on. I really wanted to watch that game. Oh, well. Thanks, WWE. All right, here we go. Tag team, be the booker. Let's do it. We got the Head Shrinkers. More Samoans. Can't get away from them. Got Samu and Fatu. The former tag team champions keeping the bloodline alive here in Be the Booker. They're going to be taking on the Street Profits in what I believe would actually be a pretty good match. So I'm going to give that match the bell. So we got the tag team match out of the way. Now we got our women's match to book, and we have Mia Yim is starting us off here in women's Be the Booker. The Mets should run out and cash in. Brother, do you know what would happen if the Mets ran out with their money in the bank to cash out right now? or cash out. They would cash out to cash in. They would fucking lose. That's what would happen. The Baron Corbin of Major League Baseball. All right, we got Mia Yim against Kairi Sane. Look at that insane elbow right there. It's a thing of beauty. And now our main event. Oh my God. Well, we have the great Kali. Should we even bother choosing an opponent? Perhaps we should. Perhaps I will give him at least the benefit of choosing an opponent and finding out who it is. But I don't think it's going to change my mind. Well, the great Kali against Penta. And I do love Penta, but it did not, in fact, change my mind. And so ends Be the Booker. Not the outcome I was hoping for. What was his nickname? The Punjabi Playboy, or am I tripping? No, I think they called him the Punjabi Playboy, and he would come out and dance. Right? He was like a ladies' man. All the girls, all the divas would dance with him. Poor Penta. What? Penta's going to be doing the Cerro Miedo like every 5 seconds in that match, just to keep the crowd invested. Can you imagine him giving him a Mexican destroyer or a Penta driver? Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. His usual offense is not going to work on the great Kali. Solo, who wins the game? Call it right now. I'm not even watching the game. I have no idea what's going on other than apparently it's tied in the ninth inning. I'm going to say the Blue Jays. Without any knowledge of what's going on right now, I'm going to say the Blue Jays. Actually, on that note, I'm going to see if I could check out the end of this game. So I'm going to see you tomorrow for episode 936 of The Sound Off. So come on back, check out that podcast, support. Let's try to get us to number one on the charts this week. Go back and check out the Halloween show from last night, Macho Monster. Ooh, yeah, we had a lot of fun last night. And I will see you for episode 936 of The Sound Off coming up tomorrow. Take care.